We're covering the Supreme Court's decision today that overturns Roe v. Wade. The new ruling says Americans do not have the constitutional right to terminate a pregnancy, that that right is not protected across the country. The decision will have a profound and in some cases immediate impact on tens of millions of people. Let's turn now to O. Carter Sneed. He's a law professor at Notre Dame who filed an amicus brief in support of Mississippi overturning Roe v. Wade. Good to have you, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
So what's your reaction to the Supreme Court's ruling today?
Well, I think like most people who are following it closely, it's not that surprising given the leak from earlier in May, which was a pretty, which itself was quite surprising, which has not really happened in quite that way, as far as I can tell. It's essentially the same argument that Justice Alito made. The opinion is unchanged from the original version in all material parts. And it basically says that if you consider the history and tradition and text of the Constitution and whether or not a particular proposed right is deeply and firmly rooted in that tradition, taking into account all of American history, it's clear that the right to abortion is, in fact, such a deeply rooted right, and therefore the American people, through the democratically elected representatives, should resolve the question of abortion law and policy. As was the case before 1973, and as is the case in most countries around the world, where this is resolved through the political process and not by judges.
Right. So let me ask you about the sort of constitutional basis for this. Justice Alito wrote that Roe had to be overruled, and he wrote the Constitution makes no reference to abortion and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision. That's what you just suggested. But critics of the decision point out that the Constitution makes no reference to women's rights, to the rights of black people, to a number of other rights that we have since embraced. So can you respond to that criticism around Alito's thinking?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And it's an understandable criticism. I don't read Justice Alito's opinion to freeze in amber the rights that were present in 1868 when we had a long go in terms of equality for men and women and persons of color. And I don't read the opinion describing the analytic framework in exactly that way. The question is, what questions are reserved for the political process and which questions are the province of the justices? And only those rights that are not merely not mentioned in the Constitution, but also not present in the history of our republic. At no point at common law, or certainly not in the 19th century, was there a right to abortion. Quite the contrary, it was criminalized. It was legally disfavored. And if you compare that to rights like other rights like same-sex marriage or contraception or interracial marriage, those are rights that are certainly in the heartland or adjacent to long protected rights, rights to marital intimacy, rights to marriage. And then also Justice Alito makes the distinction, the important distinction that I think a lot of critics underplay, which is abortion is different in that it actually involves the intentional killing of a third being. Disagreement about the moral status of that being, but it is a living human organism, a member of the human species. And that's what distinguishes the context of abortion. And therefore, this vexed question is not the same thing as fundamental questions of equality for women and minorities and others in the way that you describe. This is a question that's reserved and left to the political process, unlike those matters, because Justice Alito doesn't dispense entirely with the concept of what he calls substantive due process. He does admit the possibility of rights that are not specifically mentioned being vindicated against the state action, but he says that abortion is not one of those rights.
Right. Professor, you've also said that you believe the issue of abortion has been damaging to the Supreme Court, and I'm curious if you believe if this ruling could be more potentially damaging to the court because of those who view it as being politically motivated. I mean, if you look at polling, Americans' confidence in the court has dropped to an historic low at a time when most Americans say that access to abortion should be protected.
Yeah, so I think public opinion surveys are tricky. Most people agree, and you're right, that most people surveyed say they want Roe v. Wade to remain the law of the land. But the very same people, by wide margins, support restrictions on abortion that Roe wouldn't permit. Most people support restrictions on abortion after the first trimester and support restrictions on late-term abortion, neither of which Roe or Casey would have countenanced. So I think that, I think that the court's integrity is at its apex when it acts as a court, when it doesn't try to do politics, but simply says, what's the question? The question is, what does the Constitution mean? Not just Constitution mean, not merely in light of its text, but also its history and tradition. And I think if you take examples like Brown versus Board of Education from, that's a moment where the court acted in a way that provoked enormous political controversy.
Professor,
entire systems of, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to jump in and stop you. I'm sorry, the clock is ticking down, but it's been great having
you,
Professor O. Carter Sneed from the University of Notre Dame
Law School.
Thanks
for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate having you. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.